Hey everybody, and welcome to your Thursday, September 26th JumpCast, the only manga podcast that broadcasts in Super HD. Joining me this week are Greg Jan and Mike Lemieux.
I'm sick.
Can't you hear the fidelity of my voice?
Is Super HD, like, new today? Because Netflix up here has been saying it since I moved up here, and I've made fun of it every time I go there.
It's available to all members now.
Was I, like, in some special group that I didn't know about?
Probably.
I've had Super HD forever. I didn't realize it was a thing people didn't have.
Nice humble brag.
Yeah, well, I'm one of the, you know, crazy people who
I have
the discs instead of the streaming, so.
I have a 23-inch TV. I can't tell the difference. That's not a humble brag.
So what you're saying is they detect how large the TVs are so that they only offer it to people who can't use it.
Yeah, this guy's got an SD TV. Give him Super HD. We're not going to lose.
Or just tell him he has Super HD.
He's then he can brag to all of his friends about it.
You guys got to get this Netflix thing. I'm getting Super HD.
Super HD episodes of Mucho Lucha.
Oh god, that like that's vaguely on my brain. I'm trying not to remember it.
I don't even know if that's on Netflix. I just wanted to do the most random poll I could think of.
Oh god, now I remember it. No.
I'm holding out for 4K. When do you think Netflix is gonna get that?
Is that not what Super HD is?
Super HD is just 1080,
so.
I think.
That's regular HD.
No, regular HD is 720, right?
No, that... Okay.
Yeah.
They've been talking with Microsoft, huh?
Something like that, yeah.
Burn.
So, house cleaning stuff, that this weekend's Anime Week in Atlanta, and if you're going to be there, I will be there passing out JumpCast flyers and also interviewing people.
How was I not aware of these flyers during the...
Because I just made them today. Oh. It's literally just your art and the word JumpCast on there, and also the URL. So in a way, you could say it was entirely your fault.
I don't know why my first instinct wasn't the podcast art. Like, I thought you just meant you grabbed, like, one of the pictures I've drawn before, and then...
And here, I thought he was just gonna, you know, go into Microsoft Word and take some of the clip art or something like that.
Cool dude.
Well, there's mic art, so clip art is well associated.
I'm just picturing, like, the Always Sunny in Philadelphia thing. Like, cool dudes just looking to hang out with cool dudes over the internet.
It's a bicep.
Yes. What is the shape of these flyers, Imran?
They're paper-shaped. Actually, like, the difference between, like, cutout shapes and, like, regular shapes is, like, $75.
Well, yeah, I'd have to make, like, a fucking die to cut them out.
Yeah. So, like, I was just exploring options. It was like, okay, first, is it going to be $100? Like, no. Then, eventually, you just drop it down to, the basic thing for everything. It's, like, $6.
Yeah, when I was shipping you that game, it was like, I want to get it to him by Friday. What's 2-day shipping? $60. Whoa, hold on.
What's 3-day shipping?
Yeah, what's 3-day shipping? $50. What's the cheapest thing you have?
That's actually what I do when I go to the post office. I'm like, just whatever the cheapest thing is. Do you need signature confirmation? No. Tracking? No. Just cheapest. Those are the words.
Will he get it in faster than 2 weeks? Yes. Okay, good.
Yeah, there's a little place near me that I don't have to deal with the post office lines and whatnot, but they actually send it through that they, you know, depending on where it's going, they can automatically compare between FedEx, UPS, post office, those sort of things, and just pick the cheapest among all of them. So
the FedEx, when I was sending that package, tried to be like, well, you know, when we send it one day, we're basically buying a plane ticket for your package. It's like, oh, planes don't hold like 4,000 people. Don't give me that. And they fly those planes back and forth regardless.
Yeah, those are going no matter what.
Ah.
Yeah. FedEx is, when I was sending something to Canada, it's like, they charged me 3 times as much as UPS did. Or tried to anyway.
I did this
well, what kills me with those things is when you go and look at the tracking and whatnot, half the time they're like, for periods of time, for certain stretches, they will use the postal service. Because the postal service is cheaper.
Mail innovations.
My favorite is when you send it, like, slow instead of next day, and it goes on a plane and gets there next day and then just sits there for 4 days.
Yeah.
Like, you bastards.
Basically, privatizing the mail industry is great.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. And it was such a great idea to make them, you know, pay for their pensions for the next 70 years, so.
So this is a big anime thing in Atlanta?
Yeah, it's the only... No, it's one of the two anime cons here. And looking at Facebook, apparently, lines have already started, and it doesn't start till tomorrow.
So you're just going to make it rain with flyers?
I got like 100, so no. I think I'm just going to like actually walk up to people and be like, hey, there's this thing.
You're going to set up a little kiosk outside because you couldn't actually get a table on the inside. And
I could do that. Why don't I should go get a card table.
You're going to set up next to like the cult people standing outside handing people flowers. They're just going to keep
Hare Krishnas.
Yes.
I don't think there's a large Hare Krishna population at anime conventions, though it's actually not a bad idea for them.
Our god is so kawaii.
Just sell moe dolls of with shaved heads. Alright then.
Okay.
Let's get into Beelzebub.
After the Hare Krishna jokes.
Yes.
Which is in last place. Yeah, so if there's any listeners from Japan, like, tweet Imran and we'll send you some money so you can go ahead and vote for Beelzebub. How's that sound?
It might sound like we're joking, but we're not. We can cut checks. We gotta make
this
happen.
They're not gonna be good, but they'll be cut.
Well, yeah, I have some guy's checkbook.
Yeah.
I got checks here.
So, I feel like this beginning part of Beelzebub is kind of a reaction to ratings. Granted, they do it in a good way. In a way that, like, is funny.
They subvert it, but they still do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Shameless Furuichi is in Nene's bathroom. She's taking a shower.
Shameless of him.
Yes. And she steps out completely... as you would after
so
the
supposedly,
shower. Supposedly naked.
And
yeah.
The best
but
joke
the
of the chapter.
But the steam is covering up everything up.
But Furuichi notes that they'll probably take it away when they release the volume of this chapter.
Yeah.
Which is a great joke.
So she notices that Furuichi is there.
And
says,
starts playing, messing with him, basically. And he's going, why isn't she freaking out?
And she reveals that she went into the shower with Bikini.
And he's okay with that.
He gets the last laugh, because a bikini gets him off, too.
Ugh. Shameless.
They make such a great couple.
It's pretty shameless, like, and for Furuichi side and, like, the manga side.
But it's still funny.
It does the cheesecake picture of, like, her completely naked.
So, guys, this Furuichi thing is the best thing to happen to the manga.
We say that every couple of arts.
Yeah, but it's always about Furuichi.
Yeah. We say exactly that.
So Furuichi is the best thing to happen to this manga.
Yeah, but this isn't just the age of Furuichi. It's like Romance of the Three Furuichis.
I'd play that game.
Yeah, okay. Been working on that one all week.
I'm fine with calling it that.
So,
Oga and Akaboshi.
Oga, not Oga.
Akaboshi.
Not Oga. Elondale and Lavia are still wandering around looking for Furuichi. They start, you know, trying to figure out tips or how best to lure him out.
Yeah, like going into the tall grass.
Yes. Because he's a Pokemon.
Except there,
he's about that size. I'm waiting for an I choose you joke at some point in this, where he, like, throws Furuichi at somebody.
I think maybe putting mayonnaise on the side of a tree or curry will lure him out.
Allendale says that Furuichi likes women, so if he dresses up like a woman... And
just goes to show who knows him best in this series, right?
His best friend and roommate, Allendale.
I mean, the theories sound. It would probably work.
Yep.
It just had to be someone else.
Yeah, and so then, of course, they realized he probably followed some of the Red Tails.
Yeah, that's some really good deductive reasoning from Oga.
Yeah. Honestly, if he hadn't said it out loud, I think he would have just thought... Women, I know a woman, and just went to find Kudaeda.
Yeah, the only woman he knows.
Did they ever drop the joke about how he doesn't know the difference between Kudaeda and her supposed sister?
I don't think so.
He still hasn't figured it out.
Okay. Because it hasn't come up in a while.
Yeah.
So Kudaeda decides to call the other Red Tails to figure out if Furuichi's with them. Nene's not answering.
And one of Akaboshi's thugs turns up to ask how it's going.
Yeah.
And so it's established, Takamiya definitely wasn't taken by them, so that's probably a good thing. And then we find out that Not Oga is also interested in Kunaeda, because, you know, every foil for Oga is always into her.
Well, everyone's into her. Not just foils.
Like that guy whose name I've forgotten.
Something. Anyway, Chiaki picks up her phone.
Yeah. And she says Furuichi was there, but now he's gone somewhere.
Yeah, she just lost him. Whatever.
Yeah,
and the
last
only person that they're not able to get a hold of is Nene, so they assume that the other one is with him, or with her.
Yeah.
It's pretty good logic.
Yeah, they know Furuichi really well. They know his perverted side very well.
Yes, they know he likes mayonnaise, so, you know.
And Oga threatens to stomp Furuichi when he finds him. So Furuichi is at Nene's breakfast table with her family, which I'm guessing is a pretty large table.
Yeah. Seems like her family is loaded.
Yeah. And he keeps trying to pop up and, like, say that, oh, he'd be better off in her room. And she's not going to leave him there alone, and her father thinks this is kind of suspicious.
Yeah, that she's leaning over at the table, tells her to sit up.
So Furuichi asks to be taken to Oga's house.
To introduce her to Oga's sister.
Well, that's what he tells her, that's the reason.
After she's initially skeptical about doing it.
But Furuichi's plan is that the only person that can beat Oga is Oga's sister.
So therefore, he needs to recruit her help so that he can become the only Furuichi.
So Nene, about to meet her idol, decides she needs to get prepared for this.
So she dresses up in a ninja outfit and has kill drawn on her forehead and
spiked shoulder pads on a new cape.
And look, she has her cape back, right?
So I actually think this might be a reference to rival schools. Because there's a character that dresses like that. Like female gang leader, in fact.
There are red rival schools.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar.
It's a video game.
Oh, okay.
For the Dreamcast. Also for the PS1, but Dreamcast one is better.
Oh, it sounds like it was a manga.
Nope. But she kicks the intercom for Oga's house. It talks in a weird evil voice. Somewhat like a man.
Yeah, I don't think she actually hits the button yet. Because she's talking about how she's too nervous to talk to her.
Yeah. And then the Solomon Company people show up.
Yep. Yes. And they have, which Furuichi was that?
Careless? Brainless?
Brainless, that was it.
Flasher Furuichi.
Yeah, but not Shameless one, which is confusing.
Because he's just dumb with his nudity. He's not lecherous about it.
Yes.
So now a Pokemon battle just about breaks out.
So Furuichis decide that they're going to battle, and their representatives are going to be the Solomon Company people and Nene.
I like how he's basically effectively recruited the Solomon Company people himself, not vice versa.
Well, Solomon Company people have Furuichi because they know he's Oga's biggest weakness.
Yeah, we also find out the girl Solomon Company person is named Mitch.
Yep. So she takes the initiative and slices off part of Oga's house.
And Nene's
and
mask.
And also Nene's mask. Yeah.
And then does a Spellmaster seal?
Yeah.
A weird yin-yang symbol.
And
yeah, I don't remember which zodiac symbol that was.
It's Gemini.
No, Gemini's a 2. That's
that's
one
twins.
Of the other ones. Yeah.
Pisces?
No, yeah, but Gemini is a Roman numeral 2 is its symbol. That's the symbol for another one.
Oh, is it Pisces? The fish?
Could be, yeah.
Other.
So Brainless Furuichi declares dominance, that he's going to be the only Furuichi.
And then Misaki shows up and punches out, what was her name?
Mitch.
Mitch, yeah.
Just knocks her upside the head.
And starts demanding to know who's going to pay for the roof she just cut up. And Nene sort of starstruck while Misaki prepares to enter battle.
Yeah, prepares to bust some heads. Meanwhile, Oga and not Oga are in the gutter outside of Nene's house.
So is this the exact same gutter they were in last week at the end of the chapter?
No, this one's on 4th Street.
Was the last one not on 4th Street?
Oh, no, I'm going to check right now.
I'm assuming that this is the one that's outside of Nene's house. Like, they went to Nene's to find him and decided to look in the gutter.
But that makes sense, too. I thought it would be funnier if they went back to the same gutter.
The symbol is cancer, by the way.
It looks basically the same, except there's a telephone pole. So,
So Misaki being a huge badass is awesome.
Oh, yeah, I'm glad to see her brought into this. I think that she's going to be an entertaining wild card to bring into here.
I'd like to see her just like totally destroy this Almond Company people without any magic powers.
Yeah, and then I want to see her fight Oga at some point with his demon powers, just to see what happens.
They've said that she's even stronger than Oga, even
now. Yeah, they said that this chapter.
Yeah,
so. Yeah,
yes.
But do they know that? Because she hasn't fought him with the demon powers, right?
I think whatever Oga's weakness is, she probably knows it really well.
It is going to be
Furuichi. Are you implying something about Furuichi here?
No, I'm not even saying Furuichi. Like, what if he has a weakness in Noogies? His sister would know that.
Very true.
Oh, I forgot what I was going to say now. Oh, it'll be nice to have a strong female character that doesn't give up her coat after a couple chapters.
But she already gave up her coat, remember?
Oh, damn it, you're right. And Chaoi. God, women need to stop doing that in this manga.
No, she didn't give it to Aoi. She gave it to the other one.
Yeah,
Aoi's teacher.
Oh, the Maho girl, whatever.
Yeah,
her name
yeah.
Yeah, this was a funny chapter.
Yep.
Aoi just keeps getting knocked down the totem pole, huh?
Yeah. Well, at least she's got guys that like her. Lots and lots of guys.
Though a good chapter, but I'm still a little off put by the shower thing at the beginning.
Yeah.
Oh, that didn't bother me. It was an entertaining sight gag, even if it was it was gratuitous, yes.
They contextualized it, but I feel it's a blatant ratings grab.
Can you blame him?
No. He's feeling the heat, I think.
Yeah.
Do what you have to stay alive.
I don't think they're going to cancel it, because the volume sales do okay, and if they replace it with something that bombs, then it's just a net loss on their part.
Yeah.
That being said, if it stays down there for too long, I don't think it's going to make a difference.
Maybe.
So speaking of things that are ending, Bleach.
We think.
Bleach is never ending.
This chapter starts with Kurosuche and that other guy who's... I don't think they ever said his name, but if they did, I don't remember it.
Oh, they said it once. Oh, it's Nack Lavar.
Yeah, Lavar. I remember that.
And basically, they're just jawing at each other, so he's trying to lure Kurosuche
into the shadows.
He insists that he doesn't want to fight and asks why he's not chasing after him.
So is it me, or is this part, like, really badly drawn?
It looks fine. It might just be Kurotsuchi's sun outfit.
Weird, glowy outfit.
I don't know, like, there's a lot... It looks really sketchy.
There's a couple panels, but I wouldn't say that for the most part it does.
Yeah, his eyebrows are a little sketchy, but I think that's on purpose.
I mean, most of it's just, like, pure close-ups of the face, and some other panels are, like... really strange, you know, just no background, just odd poses.
It is.
I just think that this is way too many pages of talking about nothing.
Yeah, I mean, what, we're halfway through the chapter before it cuts away from that?
Well, the big revelation is Juha Bak saw all of this coming.
Yeah. All according to Keikaku.
And that's why he's going to win, because he saw everything coming.
Obviously.
Including Ichigo.
So, hey, guess what? Basby is totally fine.
Busby.
I don't
understand how you like you cannot get his name right no matter what.
You remember so many other names, but not that one.
Well, it was Busby for a while, and then the scan letters changed it to Busby. So,
I just keep using his old name.
Anyway, he's totally fine.
Yeah.
His coat got cut through him somehow.
Yeah, and so he tosses it off.
Meanwhile, the armored guy that Soi Fong was fighting, still fine too.
I don't think we can move that quickly past the fact that he's wearing like a fucking brown coat under his Quincy cloak.
Yeah.
Well, I thought we had already kind of established
that's pretty close. Okay, yeah, so the guy Soi Fong's fighting is also fine and a robot, like we thought.
He has never taken a breath.
I do like his design. I think it's kind of cool.
It's pretty neat.
Why is there a Quincy robot, though?
Why not?
Why not?
Because they're all human magicians?
Eh.
He was just created to use Quincy powers. There you go.
Do you not remember Lloyd Royd Is a robot that far of a stretch from double twin person?
I do remember Lloyd Roy, but I shouldn't because it was terrible.
The therapist thought he cured you.
The hypnotherapist did their best.
You just kept waking up screaming, "Oh, those doctors are so racist."
They were pretty racist. You pointed out something to me earlier today that, like, Juha Bak, when he was Lloyd Roy, was internal monologuing the entire time.
Yeah, I went back to check because later in the chapter they make reference to how those guys survived being incinerated. And while reading those chapters, I realized that while Juha Bak was fighting Genryusai, he was having internal monologue that only Juha Bak would be able to have. And then it turns out...
Well, obviously, when, you know, he was able to perfectly mimic, or they were able to perfectly mimic that one guy, they're just automatically able to know what that person knows.
It's just so weird when it's like, oh, Genryusai is much more powerful than when I fought him 1,000 years ago. Oh, nope, that wasn't really me.
I like to think he just got really into character.
1,000 years ago.
And then just didn't remember it now?
No, I'm saying that maybe Lloyd Roy fought him back then, too.
Then he'd be, well, I was going to say then he'd be dead, but apparently they don't die.
I don't think time moves in Bleach. I think everything is, you know, it's one of those real meta things, like, everything is always and will be, like, at the same time. Infinite ghost people in infinite mirrors.
Are you saying Soul Society should make more sense?
Yeah.
Are you saying that it doesn't make perfect sense that when people die, we go to this eternal, like, feudal Japan that
fights demons,
where we have different families that aren't related to us in the real world, and
except that sometimes they are, and also sometimes
and
they're not.
People age at different rates,
and sometimes they don't.
Also, fox people. That has that ever come up again? Or
I'm sure it will when he fights, because you know he went to train with his dad or whatever.
Yeah, there was the little reference to his family as well that was also never explained.
So Soi Fong decides to bring the fight back and jumps away, but then she gets stabbed right in the arm.
Oh no, not her arm.
Nothing happens to arms of Bleach.
What would happen if she lost that?
It had the same arm?
Yeah, you know, sometimes people can grow back arms or whatever.
I actually think it's the other arm than the one she lost earlier.
Maybe she's super pissed because that's like her one push-up arm.
Yeah.
So now all that work was useless.
So she explodes up in the sky after getting stabbed.
Well, first thing, is that robot crying?
Is he?
No.
Weird. Yeah, the light's kind of dripping down a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't think he's crying, though.
It's hard to tell, but it's a weird little drag there.
So anyway, back to Busby.
Yep. So apparently, back when Genryusai burned and scorched everyone and they became either piles of ash or corpses, Busby hit them with his own fire, and that canceled out Genryusai's fire.
Okay. He insulated them or something.
To be fair, I did go back and read. The people that are still alive were never shown as zombies when he brought the zombies back. However, one of them, like, had his eyes roll back in his head and fell to the ground and then burned to a crisp. And he's walking around fine.
I don't think that's how fighting fire with fire works, though. I don't think when somebody gets hit, like, you can just hit them with fire again, and then they're fine.
Maybe it was opposite fire, of, like, the opposite temperature. So it's like a net zero.
They were, like, out of phase with one another.
Yeah.
It's like trying to dry something off by putting water on it.
But what if you had really strong water?
What if you had, like, ice, and then somebody was pouring water and you had the shield of ice between it, then it still wouldn't get wet. And it's still water, right?
So Hitsugaya is water's greatest enemy.
Is there a water Shinigami?
Yeah. Halbiel was.
Yeah, her Arrancar.
She
the was
one
the
who
shark
was...
thing.
She showed up once in this arc and then never came back.
Yeah, as
yeah,
a hostage.
She's like, you know... She's like, you know, birthing out hollows or something like that. That the
Quincy.
I don't remember exactly. Yeah. She took over Huecamundo, and then they like captured her and her using her to do something.
It was basically like, oh, Halbiel's been kidnapped by somebody. Oh, it's Quincy's. Who? Halbiel? What? Never mind. Let's go.
Maybe Orihime and Chad are going to go rescue her at some point.
I doubt it.
It was kind of implied that that might be what they were supposed to be doing, but I don't think that it's going to come back at this point.
They can't write Orihime and Chad out at this point.
They're going to be like, we did it, we rescued Halbiel. And everyone's going to be like, who? What? We were fighting Quincy's. We killed the bad guy. What were you guys doing?
We had our own adventure.
It was
go
great.
Team B.
It was so much more entertaining than what's going on over here.
We befriended a talking chair. It was amazing.
In fairness, none of the main characters are actually in the manga anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember when, like, Chad and Orihime did stuff.
Chad never did anything.
Hey. He had a bird, I think, at the beginning?
Yeah.
Chad's entire existence served to be the person who was supposed to be strong who could get taken down to establish power for other people.
Did he ever beat anybody? Ever.
He beat,
once.
Like, a normal Hollow.
So we're talking, like, Yamcha levels of
And he also beat, like, Nameless Shinigami.
Didn't he fight Shinsui? Did he beat him?
No, he lost to him.
Wow. Well, there you go.
Wasn't that where his arm got cut off?
No.
I don't think his arm ever actually got cut off.
No, he loses his, like, mega arm all the time.
Yeah, no, he lost his arm when got to Yami when they first came.
Did Yami rip it off? I thought he just kind of tore him in half a little.
No, it was the arm.
I'm positive he lost his arm at some point in Soul Society.
I do enjoy that I just said tore him in half a little.
Just a little.
Bleach.
Okay, so Hitsugaya decides to fight back against Busby.
And he's terribly disappointed that he doesn't still have his Bankai, so he could prove that one finger would be enough to defeat it.
So Hitsugaya's like, hey, maybe we shouldn't fight back and just run. And then Busby decides to become a Gundam and shoots a finger through Hitsugaya. But it's okay, I'm pretty sure it only hit his robe.
Yeah, hit his robe all the way through him. So he gave Hitsugaya his love, his anger, and all of his...
Fury.
And now this is going to somehow be a weird thing where it's going to, like, connect with his inner soul thing, and it's going to give him his Bankai back, right? That's what's going to end up happening here?
Does
Busby have his Bankai?
Yes.
I don't know. I think so. I thought so.
Anyway, this is going to, like, reignite the soul of his Shinigami powers and...
And he's going to get heat and ice powers, right?
Yes. Heat ice, in fact.
Hot ice? Hot ice sounds like a thing Bleach would do.
He'll get ice 9. There you go.
I'm using my... What do they call it? What's the key energy of Bleach? I'm blanking on it right now.
Ryatsu.
Yeah, he's using his Ryatsu to keep the ice cold, even though it's 10,000 degrees.
Or just dry ice. He just covers Busby with it. I bet that's uncomfortable.
Yeah, he'll be fine. It'll only ruin his clothes. So we knew Busby wasn't going to die. So
actually, that would be a great gimmick for the rest of this fight. Just every time Hitsugaya hits him, he just takes off another piece of clothing.
Until he's down to, like, a G-string.
Yep.
It's for the ratings, guys. We swear.
And the final hit kills him. And everyone just, like, wipes their brow in relief.
Nah, one more hit and then it takes off his skin, but then he's still running around because they can't kill the Quincy's.
Then he'll just look like a Titan.
Sure.
And there's the crossover.
Attack on Soul Society.
Which is basically what this is.
Yeah.
Hey, remember Ishida?
Who? Yeah. Yeah, Sasuke, right?
Yeah.
That's what you're talking about?
When's that coming up again?
Hey, remember his dad?
No. Clearly, if he had a dad, he would have been involved in this somehow. Clearly you're wrong.
Was his dad the guy that banged the housekeeper?
Yes.
Then yes, I remember him.
Because she was his silver medal.
So what do you think happens in the next chapter? Do you think Hitsugaya, one of the most popular characters in the manga, is dead?
I would say 100% definitely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. There's no way that this is going to end up being, like, you know, an illusion on that ice that he projected or something like that.
If they were smart, what they would do is Hitsugaya is incapacitated somehow and Rangiku has to finish this, because then they can go with the theme.
Of the new generation that you've invented?
Yes. Of what every manga does.
That there has been no indication whatsoever that there is going to be that going on in this series at all.
I'm not saying it is the theme. I'm saying it should be. There should be a theme of any sort whatsoever, and that's as good as any.
But the problem with that is that, like, the power, like, the establishment has shown that the lieutenants are so much ridiculously weaker than the captains in this that it makes no sense.
Yeah, it's like they're barely stronger than, like, regular Shinigami.
You really act like Shonen Manga and Bleach in particular doesn't have those, like, okay, now we're just stronger now things.
Like, sure, now Rangiku can take out a Bankai person. Whatever.
Yeah, why not?
She'll just suddenly awaken her own Bankai.
Remember, right after they introduced Bankais, everyone got releases.
Oh, man,
and those releases were, like, super powerful.
That's what's going to happen, is all the lieutenants are going to awaken their Bankais and save their captains. Oh, man.
And they can't take any more Bankai, because they already took all the captain Bankais.
Yeah. Only have room for one. Damn it. Ju Ha Bok did not foresee this.
Because we, like... I suppose that it hasn't been said one way or the other, but it, you know, makes so much sense that they can only take one, right?
It's like the devil fruit.
Can they actually only take one, or is that something we made up at some point?
We don't know. It has not been said one way or another.
So they can probably only have one.
Yeah.
Okay, good. There wasn't a weird surprise final page in Bleach this week. Like last week. Alright, you guys want to move on to Nisekoi?
Well, I'm just going to say about Bleach real quick that if they do another thing next week where it's like, okay, now the captains have the advantage, but the fight's still not over, that's going to be stupid.
You mean if it's just like, oh, Hitsugaya's not really dead, and now I'm going to kill Busby. Oh, Busby's not really dead, and I'm going to kill Hitsugaya.
Yep.
Yeah, remember when we were talking about how it was, like, impressive that the fight seemed to be wrapping up quick?
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be real disappointing. It's just, like, trading near-fatal blows back and forth, because that's a really boring fight.
Until Ichigan comes back.
Yeah.
Anyway, Nisekoi.
Yeah, amnesia. What? No. No more amnesia. Yay.
Yeah. I mean, we can basically summarize this as Raku does not have amnesia. Also, that thing I said with Chitoge was that would happen did happen.
Yeah.
Also.
So Raku is surprised that he has amnesia, even though he doesn't remember the past couple days.
Oh, I forgot to tell you guys my Nisekoi theory.
What?
That the girl is actually Haru's friend.
Oh, Fu? Or whoever?
Yeah. The one that has not said anything yet has not met Raku.
That would be kind of amazing.
She looks like her.
A little bit.
When did she first appear?
When Haru did.
Yeah.
Okay.
So my theory is she was held back a grade, or Raku was like...
robbing the cradle when he was 5.
Yes. Like, that girl didn't know what the hell was going on with that kid, like, taking the ending from her book and, like, rewriting a new one. So she just threw it away and Onodera found it.
So...
she's like, what the hell is this key, anyway?
A lot of authors seem to have a very tenuous grasp on what amnesia actually is. Because I don't think you just forget everything you did while you had amnesia.
You switch modes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like once a demon kisses you, then,
Brain B turns off and Brain A turns back on. Yeah.
Haru has weirdly long arms.
Anyway, people are showing up for Chitoge's party.
Yep.
Nobody wants to tell Raku what he did while he was Raku B.
He'd be embarrassed to know he was so nice and...
He'd be embarrassed to know that, you know, he was actually a nice person.
It's like, hey, you weren't a fucking dick for like 2 days. It was awesome.
Everything went great.
Yeah, look,
nobody had
new,
any problems.
You built an orphanage. The town loves you.
So they meet up
also,
with Haru.
Also, by the way, you had your first experience, but you don't get to remember it.
It was with Shu. Okay, hey, Haru, what's up?
Why not mess with someone who has amnesia like that?
If somebody was attempting to claim that they were like, yeah, I had amnesia, so I don't remember the other thing, but now I don't remember the time when I did have amnesia, I would totally be effing with them, because I wouldn't believe them.
I remember when I was a kid once, a kid on my soccer team, like, after a game, they had a pool at his house, and he slipped and hit his head, and he didn't remember the day at all. And we were given, like, this very long talk about how we were not supposed to ever mention that game, or ask him about it, or anything. Because it would be, like, damaging.
What?
I don't know. They, like, didn't want us to ask him about it, or... And as I think about it, that's kind of suspicious, isn't it?
Did some other things happen to you when you were a kid, to your team when you were a kid?
No, you guys had, like, the Greco-Roman soccer, right? play it naked like the Olympians did.
Or that time they took you in like the sound van for a hearing test.
Yeah.
And just drove you away while you were blindfolded.
And they gave us like really warm popsicles. Like, it was weird.
So how did Haru, Paula, and Fu get invited to this party anyway?
Because they're... I don't know.
They're all shoes, like, plus one.
I can kind of understand if, like, Chitoge maybe... Because she's met Haru once, I think. And
yeah,
she knows
and I could see her like, you know, oh, hey, you can tell your sister to come along. But then her sister brings her friends, too.
Well,
but Chitoge didn't invite them.
Yeah, it's a surprise party. Like, maybe they're just party crashers. Just come for the free food.
Yeah. It's a rich person's house. Why not go?
Wouldn't you go to a party at the biggest mansion in the city? Like, if you could just sneak in and get all the appetizers?
And you know enough people there that nobody would think it would be weird.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's like,
I would totally crash that party.
Just keep telling friends that you're there with another friend.
Also, why is Haru going there separate from Onodera?
Because why not?
Presumably they'd leave from the same place.
They don't go to school together either, so, you know.
That is true.
Maybe they have like a really bad relationship that we don't see. Because they're always like they're always like keeping up illusions in public of like, oh, we love each other, and then at night it's just horrible.
Were they like, taking a bath together at one point though?
Yeah, but maybe that was like them attempting to be like, okay, look, we need to solve this problem. Let's try to bond.
That's a weird way to bond.
Well, it's Japan.
Well, you know, they jump into the pool head first, right?
So to speak. So anyway, Chitoge is in her bedroom waiting for her birthday party to begin, and ruminating on everything that's happened in the last couple of days.
Yeah, well, a lot happened.
Yeah.
So she eventually makes her appearance.
In her party dress.
Yes, fancy, stylish dress. Way overdressed compared to everybody else, too.
Yeah. I mean, Raku's there in, like, a t-shirt.
Yeah,
like,
it's just kind of funny thing. How it's like, okay, this is her party, so it makes perfect sense, but, you know, for the people who would be showing up, you would expect that they would know what sort of party it would be.
And Chitoge steps out and does, like, a... What is this? An Evita thing? Where she's like gets showered in confetti and
yes.
Stoically.
Yes, I love those two panels.
Yeah. Those are like the best parts of this chapter.
Yeah, the like emperor hand going up and...
Yeah.
With her blank face of, you know, yes, thank you.
And then it gets stupid real quick.
Yeah, because she can't look at Raku because of all the weird things they did together. Like, him sleeping about 4 feet from her.
And touching her hand once.
Yeah. Oh, so embarrassing.
And Raku apologizes for not remembering her birthday before he got amnesia.
Yeah, I'm sorry I had amnesia.
I'm sorry I forgot before I remembered before I got amnesia.
And Claude says Raku can't beat the present that he got for Chitoge, which is he spent all his money on a private jet.
Which she immediately says, I don't need that. And
yeah.
Claude freaks out.
I'm sorry, I don't care. If you're 17 and somebody buys you a private jet, you'd be all over that.
What are you supposed to do with a private jet? You gotta pay for gas, like there's maintenance on that. Planes are expensive to have. I mean, he basically just burdened her.
Yep.
I think she's rich enough that she can handle it.
Claude's kind of a dick is what I'm getting at.
And so Raku gives her a bouquet.
Yes, that she pointed out that she liked. Specifically.
When he had amnesia.
Yes.
So I guess the thing there is supposed to be that Raku still remembers
kind of
some
remembers
things.
Some of the stuff.
It's in there somewhere. Good
he
Raku
felt
is,
compelled to get that.
Good Raku is screaming in the cage from inside his mind.
It's like, you won't be a complete jerk if you get her these.
They're and like $5. Come on, man.
Chitoge wanders down the hall to look for her father. Who says he's busy? Or, well, he just got done with work, but he's just sitting in his hall looking at photo albums?
Yeah, you know, father stuff.
Yeah. So he's looking at pictures of baby Chitoge.
Yeah.
Basically going down memory lane, because, you know, she's 17 now.
Yes.
And, oh, hey guys, guess what? Her eyes are brown when she's a kid.
Yep.
How
like I said,
that?
What happened? They just changed color.
It happens. Does this actually happen? Like this?
I think it can.
I feel like it's way rarer than they think.
Brown to blue seems much more significant, but
yeah.
I thought it was more like oh, your eyes were a little more green when you were a kid, but now they're kind of brown.
Or like hazel to brown.
Yeah, not like, oh yeah, your eyes went from brown to blue to green to red.
Yeah, this doesn't pass the smell test, but it was the only way they could retcon that stupid thing.
Also, that's a remarkable turnaround on, it might not be you. Okay, it might be you. Like, one chapter.
Yeah. And, like, they didn't even have time to, like, depress Chitoge.
Yeah, I think this would have been something to stretch out a little bit more. Like, have her deal with, like, okay, maybe it might not be me, but, you know, we could still be together.
So I actually went and just looked it up, and apparently eye color does kind of change from kids to adult. It can in people of European ancestry, but in the opposite direction.
Yeah, because babies' eyes don't have blue, right?
Yeah, they don't have as much melanin when they're kids, and as they age, melanin is produced, and it can, you know, it produces more pigment. So
I'm just going to throw it out there that I think Naomi Kawaguchi is probably not a very good writer.
Or Chitoge is Benjamin Button.
That makes more sense.
Yeah. So.
Wow, she was really tiny when she was old then.
Well, that wasn't her. Yeah, you know, it's like the old Asian ladies. That's who Raku fell in love with when he was a kid.
So Raku has the book. I'm not sure why he has the book.
Well, I think they left it with him or something
He says that they said that he remembered something when he read the book, so they're trying to get him to remember it again.
Okay. So he's looking through the book, and he remembers writing the ending and something about lockets and keys.
Yeah, Raku's too stupid to remember.
Yep. But
and he realizes that in the book there's four keys.
Yes. Not three, like there are now.
Yes. So that's Tachibana, Onodera,
and Chitoge.
Chitoge, and Fu.
Yeah. Definitely Fu. The hair even kind of matches.
Yep. She has no other place in this manga.
Yeah, it seems
literally none.
Probable at this point that, unless it's somebody completely new out of the blue.
Minamoto. Or Miyamoto.
She decided dye her hair.
Equal chance.
But maybe her hair color changed from when he was a kid. When she was a kid. It's not that uncommon.
Actually, that does happen.
Yeah, I know. That is much more common than eye color changing.
Mine was way blonder when I was a kid. Now it's brown. Anyway, So the thing we thought would happen happened to the letter, exactly.
Like, I mean, I figured it would take a lot longer.
Yeah, you thought this was like maybe 10 chapters down the road after a small arc about her being depressed and.
Yeah. And trying to come to grips with the fact that even if she's not the promised child, she's still a candidate for Raku.
No, that'd be stupid.
No, it's got to be that one thing. All relationships are determined from childhood.
I gotta say, the cover page of the picture of Onodera and the text, "This love is the reason for my existence," makes me a little sad for Onodera.
It's all she lives for.
I'd basically kill myself if this middle school guy didn't pay attention to me. Or high school guy.
We should put bets on which girl will be the one.
Who? Well,
that he actually ends up with.
Oh, Paula.
Really?
Yeah. What? All the signs are there.
It should get 100% went for like a surprise thing at the end, like, oh, it's neither of the girls he thought it would be. Like, it was a girl that was there from the beginning, and she was one of the possible candidates, but ultimately not the one he had anything in common with. He went with a hot one, basically.
Let's see, I think Love Hina went with the, oh, it's not the girl you thought it was, but who cares, just get with the girl you thought it was ending.
Yeah.
Of like, hey, maybe we don't have to be beholden to promises we make as children. Anyone think of that?
So it was basically Nisekoi.
Yeah.
Or at least where we're hoping that Nisekoi will end up going, because if he's like, oh, that was the person I made the promise to when I was a kid, therefore
it'll go
that
with
girl
him, like,
that I've, you know, not been talking to for a year, I'm just leaving all of you for her, you know.
I knew it was Fu the entire time.
And how pissed is Haru going to be when Raku is dating her best friend?
At least it's not her sister.
Could be a sister too. I still think the locket scam has a lot of viability as an ending.
Oh no, I got amnesia. I'm gonna have to skip town.
All right then.
His memories were in the locket all along.
Speaking of memories,
Naruto.
Yes.
Sasuke.
Sasuke.
Yeah.
Definitely Sasuke.
Protagonist Sasuke and his sidekick Naruto.
Who says that he is going to come along with the protagonist.
Yep. I'm here too. He basically sighs. And I'm part of Team 7 as well.
You are not the only person in Team 7.
At least he doesn't get knocked away immediately.
So Naruto's like, hey, you know, Sage stuff works only, so leave it to me, I guess, Sasuke. And Sasuke says, oh, well, I planned for that anyway.
Yeah, I recruited a Sage person who can, you know, give me his powers, so.
Apparently, yeah, apparently cursed seals have Sage powers. Isn't that really convenient?
Yeah, wow.
I'm glad that this was mentioned earlier.
I
also like how his, like, Susanoo gets that stupid cross on its face, like, when he had, when he was Batwing.
Oh, yeah, like, stupid ridiculous. Demon form.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Orochimaru basically just, like, orally masturbates to Sasuke for a while.
Remember when remember when the curse seal was just, like, a piece of Orochimaru's power?
Like, yeah, it enhanced their chakra a lot. And then, like, when it did that thing to Sasuke, it was like, oh man, this is crazy. And then it never did that again, because he had more control of it.
Did it again once.
And the entire thing is about it was like, oh, every time you use it, you fall more under his control, or something like that.
Nope, apparently it was Sage powers the whole time, because right now it's convenient.
Yep.
I will say, okay,
so
guys.
Does that mean that, is it Jugo? Is that his name?
Yeah.
Does that mean that he is the Human Bone Forest?
I was just going to say, silver lining, we don't have to see Dragon Sasuke.
Yet.
I think we're good. Jugo is the Human Bone Forest. I'm with Greg.
So Second essentially holds up a sign that says parallels by saying Sasuke is just like Madara.
That'd be great if he just held up a sign that said parallels on it.
That one day you will transcend Madara, and Naruto, you're, you know, one day you will probably pass the first, or
the second is going to go up to Orochimaru and be like, seriously, is nobody freaked out by, like, how closely this resembles the last three times this happened?
Is Naruto just, like, puffing out a pipe, being like, hey, the Sonnen are a lot like Team 7.
I never noticed before.
Oh god, we have more parallels to go this chapter.
Yep. Yes, we do. So anyway, they go on the attack, and then the first starts hallucinating his memories to everybody.
And, like, apparently he's still mind-linked with Ino.
Yeah, I guess I just never turned that off after the speech.
Don't think bad things. The faucet is open, and it's just shooting out.
Don't get a boner. Oh, shit.
Don't think about Madara naked.
I can't not do it now. So he's remembering the very first Kage meeting.
Yeah, where he apologizes to everybody immediately.
Yep.
Just, like, he's so thankful. Like, you guys are awesome. I'm so glad to be here, guys.
We get to see the old Tsuchikage and Mizukage and Tsuchikage. Wait, I said that twice. Raikage.
The old Raikage was awesome looking.
Which one, the black guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of. I thought the old Mizukage was pretty awesome looking. Weird.
Which one is he? The one with the
sharp-toothed Gandalf? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Meanwhile, Sans guy just looks sort of like, eh.
Like, I don't know. I'm a generic ninja.
He's just a guy, you know.
I have no distinguishing characteristics.
So they decide, they're talking about how they're going to distribute all the Bijū that apparently Tobirama and Hashirama have caught.
So that there is an equal balance of power.
Yeah. Which seems stupid. Like, that's a really dumb plan.
Yeah, this would be like, okay, Russia and the United States met up and were talking with everybody else, and we're like, all right, so we're going to divide the nukes equally?
That'll keep everyone safe, right?
If we all have them, then no one's going to use them, right?
Yeah, that worked out great. So Kazekage does not want it on the steel, because they already have a tailed beast.
Yeah, they have, what was his name?
Eight tails.
One.
No, they have one tail.
Oh, yeah, sorry, yeah.
Starts with an S.
Yeah, I don't remember either. So, they already have him, so they don't need a beast.
He wants some of those sweet dollar bills, y'all.
Yeah, he wants 30% of the cut, and he wants some extra land, because, hey, they're surrounded by desert. Yeah, that's kind of not fair.
Yeah, my ancestors were stupid. Why did they build a city in a desert?
We need some food, guys.
I mean,
like,
I appreciate
Everyone else chose like the most fertile lands possible, like
Look.
the village of rain, the village in the forest.
Look, I'm one for thematic consistency, but come on. Get some lakes in there.
I wanted to be the village in the Fertile Crescent, but nope. No, everyone was like, nope, we're all sand powered. We have to stick with sand.
Look, we got the headbands made up. Look, it's an hourglass. It's awesome.
We have a sand beast.
What are you gonna do in fertile lands? I don't know. A tree? That's stupid. We got an hourglass, bitch. So yeah, the other Kages realize parallels.
Yep. And the past Kage start screaming at San for demanding all these things.
Yeah. Like, that is pretty unreasonable, you know.
Yeah. And Hashirama then apologizes again.
Yep. He's just like, please let us, you know, sign this paper so that we can have peace and, you know, maybe one day work towards everybody being on the same side.
God, he's like this close to just like crying and saying, why won't everyone get along?
So that one guy in the bandages was there in the Edo Tensei fight.
What? Yeah, that is that guy, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think who took him over? Somebody else took him over for
Kabuto like took direct control, I think.
Yeah. So who's the guy next to him?
I don't know. I think he was just having fun designing characters.
Yeah, because he looks really familiar.
These are just like the assistants of the previous Kages, if I'm not mistaken.
But I think that bandage guy was there, because I do remember.
Yeah.
That was the dude that they killed like three times, right?
Right.
Kept hiding out.
He was the one they couldn't beat.
So, in short, sometimes ninjas do things, and also, let's just get along. Come on, guys, seriously. Stop being dicks.
Also, Look at the Raikage's awesome WWF victory belt.
Yeah.
That is an awesome belt. There's a face on it.
An angry face.
Yeah. So, yeah, all the Kages are back.
Yeah.
And they're to here. Really turn the tide, I guess?
Against what? The like, roots that are attacking them?
Against the thing that, you know, nobody can touch because it'll suck them dry? It's going to turn out that all of the Kages have sage powers, right? Oh, we might get to see Slug Sage Mode.
Well, now. Tsunade at least has sage powers.
Yeah.
So.
It turns out that she's going to be replacing Sakura in Team 7.
Who?
See, you know what occurred to me? You know Naruto's whole thing last week of, like, remembering all the things that happened in his life that, like, shaped who he is?
Yeah.
Jiraiya was not in any of them.
He remembered Jiraiya's grave.
Did he? I thought it was Sarutobi's grave.
And after that was Jiraiya's grave.
Okay. So he basically remembered that one part of Jiraiya.
Yeah, he remembered him dying. That was sad.
You remember the people he lost.
I still think they should bring Inertente Jiraiya in at some point.
Not gonna happen. They buried it at sea. I think Kabuto even specifically mentioned that they can't bring him back.
Yeah, that they couldn't find any of his cells or something like that.
Now, how did they bring Madara back?
I don't know. He's probably got cells all over.
Like Hashirama, just spurting his DNA everywhere.
I mean, let's be honest here. I'm sure that Orochimaru had some of Madara's DNA someplace.
There's probably some in the bottom of the blender somewhere.
Then again, you would kind of expect him to have some of Jiraiya's too, but...
Yeah. Yeah, especially since they were together for so long.
They were bros.
You know, Gaara seems like the weak link in this Kage triumvirate.
Well, yeah, they're all, like, super best in the village people, and then Gaara's like, I don't know, it's the best we have.
Yeah, my dad died, and I took over the job.
I tried to kill you all, and then I didn't.
I used to have a bijou, which kind of made me a lot more powerful, but then it turns out that what everybody thought was that power was actually my mom.
Oh, yeah!
The mother's love. That was some weird justification for why he still has sand powers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He used to be way more powerful, because, like, when he didn't sleep, the Biju protected him. And then he started sleeping, and then he didn't have, like, those powers anymore.
Well, no, he still did, it's just that he wasn't completely insane, because it was that when he slept, the Biju took over or something like that, which is why he was always...
But he didn't have, like, the automatic sand power after that. After his fight with Naruto, the perfect defense thing was gone.
Wasn't that after
But it came back, because it was his mom's love.
Yeah. And that, remember, like, the big sand thing hugging him?
Oh, yeah.
Remember it?
He was fighting his father. I remember that now.
The one we haven't really seen much is the Mizukage. Although she's
we haven't really seen her do a whole lot. Yeah.
They always go to her fight and then pull away to something else.
There's references that have been made to her being the strongest of the five. So.
Like, remember, she was about to fight Sasuke and then didn't.
But then she was about to fight Zetsu. Then it cuts back to, like, Sasuke running away, right?
Yeah. Like, then she was protecting the world leaders from all the Zetsus, but they didn't show the fight.
We better get to see her fight before this is all done.
Watch her just save everybody.
Yeah, just stab Obito in the head with some, like, sage ice crystal. Be like, done.
Yep.
See you guys next war. Good war, good war.
So Hashirama is galvanizing people to do what? I'm not sure.
To do things.
Do ninjas do things sometimes? Please.
Please, please, please.
I guess telling these guys to do something isn't that bad of advice, considering they're all just kind of standing around with their QB powers.
Well, also, and the entire, like, oh, hey, well, okay, do something. Now the question is, do what? You know?
Shikamaru, it's up to you.
I don't know, I died before I figured that out.
I've done my part. Now it's up to you guys.
Shikamaru's still dying. Okay, Choji.
I believe in you. That other guy, no good.
You've been around him so long. You know all of his plans, right? You know the way he thinks. I mean, his dad's dead already, so come on. You're all we've got. He hasn't had a kid yet.
Okay, Choji's out. Neji, oh god.
That's right. He not? No.
Sai. Yes, Sai. Oh, well, he's dead again.
Sai disappeared again. I think the best part of the last, let's say, 30 chapters is that how pushed to the side Sakura has been.
Well, remember there was that whole chapter about how I'm going to stand beside them, and then in the very next chapter she was about a mile back.
Yeah.
Like, fight.
It's like, oh yeah, it's Team 7 all together again, and then they're not.
Like, it just became Tobirama, Minato, Sasuke, and Naruto. Like, she wasn't even, like, backup like Juko was.
She was just standing.
Yeah, Team 7 does not have much in the way of teamwork.
It's basically just Naruto running close to Sasuke.
Oh, come on. I teed that one up for you.
What, teamwork?
Yes.
Speaking of assassination classroom teamwork.
So, As Class this week is the best chapter of the week, bar none.
It's amazing.
Full disclosure, I've read next week's. So
I haven't read the full chapter. I did look up the raw.
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean.
Okay. Oh, you guys spoiled yourselves?
Yeah. I had to
know what happened. Like, it was right basically there. What I assumed what it was. But yeah.
It was basically like the answer to what's in the Pulp Fiction box is right in front of you, and you're sitting there looking at it. It's like, do I flip over the card?
I'm disappointed in you guys.
Hey,
I'm the person who goes on Tuesdays or Mondays and looks up what One Piece spoilers are every week.
I know. I don't know. I understand why you guys still do that.
I don't. What? Don't group me in with him. How dare you?
You used to.
I did.
It was not that long ago.
Oh, come on. Everybody was obsessed with it back in Marineford. Like, I would be posting them up every week and everybody would be going crazy over it.
We had to know if Ace was still dead.
To this day, I think there's still some stuff from the fake fake scanlations that I still think is real because they were so prevalent.
So it starts with the blackboard drawing contest.
Yeah, I'm glad we got to see these.
Yeah, the winner was really good.
A lot of these competitors are good too.
Yeah. I really like the one of all the different Koro senseis with the different colored heads.
Yeah, I like the one with him like as a Buddha in the middle of a bunch of fish and octopi. Actually, the balloon one's really good, too. Now look at that one.
They're all pretty good. I like the guy that did, like, the two chalkboards.
Oh, yeah. And there's, like,
kind of
one...
Hard
I think it's
to
like,
tell what it is, though, because they're so small.
There's, like, a kindergarten class that did, like, a really kind of bad girl sensei, but they're kids, so...
It's adorable. So they win, like, a runner-up prize.
Oh, wait, there's a Last Supper girl sensei. I didn't even see that.
You didn't see that one?
Yeah, no. That one's pretty great, too.
Are they both from the same person?
I don't know.
I think they tied for first because there's.
Well, but you would think that they would have the other one if they tied. That they would have a larger one. So I'm guessing that was another entry by the same guy or something like that.
God, I'm looking at the people at the table and. I don't know.
It's kind of hard to see them all.
Yeah,
looks like Nagisa's the betrayer.
Makes sense.
And Karma's the one sitting right next to him.
I don't know that those are all S-class people. Huh, weird.
I don't know, it's kind of hard to tell.
Anywho.
Regardless, great contest.
Yes. So they sat Kurosensei down to watch the movie.
Watch the movie?
Yeah. And they say right after the movie ends, they're going to shoot off his tentacles. So he knows that this is the assassination attempt, that this is going to happen soon. So he's feeling his way out.
So now checking out the entire thing, and you know, they also check him out to make sure that there's no special tricks going on.
No fish costume underneath. And he notices that the two snipers aren't there.
How convenient.
Yes, so he smells for them and smells them off in the direction of the mountains. And people are walking in and out of the place and
trying to
around.
Keep them confused.
Like... Yeah.
And it's a home movie about Koro-sensei.
Basically, every embarrassing thing he's ever done.
Yeah.
Which is, a lot of it is amazing.
Yeah, yeah, certainly a good way to get to him.
So we have him.
Like, that porno thing is fantastic because that's not the time they showed in the manga.
It isn't?
Because he's wearing a different bug costume.
He is wearing a different hat, isn't he?
Yeah.
And then he stood in line on a day where women get something free. All you can eat cake in a woman's costume. And then he gets, like, arrested.
He's, like, 7 feet tall.
Clones himself to, like, stand in soup lines or whatever that is.
To get a bunch of tissues so he can make himself fried chicken. And it goes on for an hour. And
at the end,
says he's already dead.
Dead of embarrassment. That he was so embarrassed he didn't even realize that the tide has come in and all the water is, like, soaking up to the floor.
Because they prepared for this and lowered the building.
Yeah.
So that it would appear normal at low tide.
Which is pretty impressive, honestly.
Yeah, but he's not a big deal for him because he knows where the snipers are. So as long as he just avoids that direction, he's great.
So they shoot off his legs.
And then they pull the ripcord on the house and all the walls come down.
They all shoot up on jetpacks made of water, like hose jetpacks.
This is the part that sort of, like, strains credibility for me.
Oh, it totally strains. It strains credibility in where they're attacking, you know, their alien teacher.
I'm not saying, like, the rest of that I buy, but it's just like, okay, now we have water jetpacks. They could have done without that pretty easily.
Well, but it makes a hydraulic cage.
They could have used a water fountain of some sort. Or squirt guns or something.
I don't know. It's still awesome.
A resort island. They were hang gliding and doing other stuff. I believe they have those water jetpacks.
All that matters is that it's awesome.
Also,
Nagisa and Girl Nagisa are on hose duty outside.
And Bug Girl is commanding dolphins to... like,
jump
and make splash. And Ritsu comes out of nowhere with a bunch of guns.
She Terminators him. Just walks right through the water.
I like how she's wearing her scuba gear.
Yes. Oh, she raises from underneath. I see that now.
Oh, yeah. There's a... what are those called?
A little platform.
A winch. There. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they
all start shooting around Koro-sensei. Because they knew if they aimed at him, he'd just dodge out of the way. So if they aim around him, he can't move anywhere.
Then the snipers pop up out of the water.
Yes. Because they had built our decoys up in the mountain that smell like them.
Yeah, that left their clothing on and that sort of stuff.
I love how both crappy and also, like, extremely detailed the dummies are.
Yeah. Like, they even have faces.
They even have real guns. That's a good thing to leave lying around, right?
Ah, there's no one else on the island.
So they both take their shot at Koro-sensei, who realizes they've all done really well to come this far.
And then the bullets strike him.
And there's a big flash of light.
Yeah.
And it says his whole body shot off with a flash of light. And the way that I saw that flash thing, I thought it was like him shooting up into space or something like that.
That's what I assume too. And I assume you guys know, and that's...
Well, okay, well, we're going to spoil it for you. He's actually dead. The next one's like, it says goodbye, Koro-sensei, and it's the end of the manga.
I don't believe that.
Oh, it's not true at all.
Fulfilled the goals that he, you know, set out for them by what would have been a successful kill of him, so now he's going to take them into the dark underworld of assassination.
and Ritsu gets a real body, like a cyborg body.
Did they finally reveal that Nagisa and Girl Nagisa are the same?
Yeah, that's actually their power. They're the Wonder Twins.
Good ending.
Yeah.
But still, this chapter was just fantastic throughout. So, like, every single time that they ratcheted up, it was just perfect.
It was so good that I was just frothing at the end. And, like, the absolute second I saw that the Raw was available, I didn't even hesitate.
This is one of those ones where, like, I was trying to read as fast as I could because I wanted to keep going and, like, to get to the end. Like, holy shit, holy shit, holy shit.
You just basically wanted it to never stop, and then it did. And I wasn't feeling empty.
Yep.
So, guys, this series has only been running for, like, a little bit over a year.
Yeah.
How crazy is that?
And it's... I don't hesitate to say it's probably the best series in Jump right now.
Yeah.
Certainly of those that we read. Like, I can't judge on the ones that I'm not reading, but...
I mean, that's what we named it last year, was the best series.
I thought we did Beelzebub. You
know, Beelzebub's best chapter.
Yeah, Beelzebub had best single chapter.
Then what was Bleach?
Best Bleach, I think.
Like four times.
Yeah, it was the bleachiest Bleach. Yeah, something like that.
So what you're saying is Ask Class has a really good shot this year of
probably
pulling a Colbert and taking it home twice in a row.
The only competition would be World Trigger, which at some point we'll bring back.
Yeah. It's getting a little long in the tooth in this current fight.
Is it? I haven't been reading the last couple of weeks.
No, it's finally wrapped up.
Yeah, it has, but like for a while there, it's like, yeah, I kind of get it.
Nah, man, like, I'm sorry. There was the one chapter where I started reading it, and I was like, all right, this one's been going on for a little bit. But then the way that chapter ended, yeah, I didn't care.
The leg, yeah, that was real awesome. So, Assassination Classroom, that's my prediction for next week.
Yeah, Imran, we want to hear what your prediction for next chapter is.
I'm going to guess he survived somehow, but they all got close enough. He considered it a successful assassination. And we'll give them an extra year.
Close, but you're way off.
To be fair, we don't know anything of what was actually said. But
he lives. That's the main thrust of it. And also, does Hitman come?
I don't know.
All right, then.
So, hey, One Piece.
From one island to another.
Hey, guys, that caribou thing's still going.
I don't even know what's happening. Like, is he also destroying a factory separately?
I think
he's, like,
factory.
Sinking it into the ground.
Yeah, I think that's him underneath it.
So, parallels.
Yeah, whatever.
They're not destroying it yet.
It's sinking.
How long has this caribou thing been going on now? This has been, a year almost, right?
It's volume 39, so...
Well, 39, but then also the weeks that he's been off and any other pages off. That he got, so...
So, yeah, it's probably been about a year.
It was almost, like, right in after they left Fishman Island, they started this arc.
Did it go through most of...
No, it didn't go through Punk Hazard.
Yeah.
I think it was right after they finished Punk Hazard is when it started.
No, because it started with Jinbei, remember? Jinbei caught caribou and then...
Yeah, but I think that was during the Punk Hazard, like, middle end.
I think it was closer to the middle than the end.
Real easy to find this out, but I don't feel
like...
But we don't care, because it's caribou.
Yeah.
In fact,
we've talked about it too much.
We don't caribou.
So, Rebecca. Everyone's still yelling at her because her grandfather set the fires. He is, in fact, Billy Joel.
Oh, that makes sense. You know, that the king would set fires.
Yep. And so Luffy's like, hey, that's not her fault. Her grandfather did it.
And then Cavendish is awesome.
Parallels.
Okay, I found the first caribou one.
Which chapter was it?
It's chapter 674. And what's going on here? The next one's the one when the gas shows up. This is when Caesar attacks them and, like, all the children go crazy and start fighting Nami, Sanji.
Okay, that was middle end then.
Yeah.
It was middle-ish. Back half, definitely.
So, it's been going on about a year.
Yeah.
Anyway, maybe Cavendish shows up and, you know,
on a little
lambasts, lambasts the audience for Rebecca.
You're not mentioning the best part of this lambasting is that he has speakers attached to his horse
that he brought himself.
Yes. So he can make this huge speech.
Well, of course. How else would they be able to hear him, right?
So basically he gives a stirring speech in defense of Rebecca.
And says that, you know, if they want to, if they're that angry at her, then they should take up arms and jump into the ring themselves.
And everyone swoons.
Yes.
The best one is the commentators, or one of the commentators, like, freaking out, and the one behind him is swooning.
I also like, in one of the crowd shots, it's basically like a toy version of Whitebeard.
Yeah, there is. It's got the same beard.
Yeah, like, face thing.
Maybe that's what happened to Whitebeard.
He became a toy.
So, Luffy says Cavendish really showed them, and that he went up a little bit in his eyes, but he still hates him.
Yep.
Yep.
Actually, Cavendish, he became a pretty good character right here.
Yeah.
He's a guy with a sense of honor, even if he does want to kill Luffy.
And then he cares about is the fact that after 3 years, he is finally popular again.
Yep.
I love all the sparkles around him. Like, he doesn't just get eye sparkles, like, his entire body sparkles.
So, Rebecca goes to thank Cavendish, who's kind of having none of it, because they're going to be opponents soon. And also, he's very distracted by the fact that, like, there may be a reporter to interview him and call him Mr. Big Star.
And then the round starts.
Ding.
And they're going to show all the people that they're going to introduce later.
Yep.
And then it cuts away.
Yeah.
So, to save for another chapter.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, like, the two parties have converged. Frankie,
well,
the soldier.
Two of the three.
Yeah. Well, yeah. The two dwarf parties have converged.
Right. And Soldier One Leg is leading the meeting. As they're going to fight to regain their freedom and gain vengeance for Riku King.
And
Uso, also escape.
Yeah, Uso Land is very stoic, just waiting for a moment to run.
Yeah, he wants to hear their plan so he knows when to run. Meanwhile, Zoro and that dwarves?
Yeah, dwarves.
That one dwarf are heading towards the ship.
And get the names of the three seats that we have. So Spade, Heart, and Club.
Treble, Diamante, and Pika.
Yeah.
Of whom I don't think we've seen any of them yet.
Oh,
we've seen Diamante.
And
okay.
Definitely.
We've seen Treble.
When did we see Treble?
He was that weird, like, Uzi guy with the club staff.
That's right, yeah.
Popping out of different surfaces.
And I think that we've seen the back of Pika, but, like, not... Like, we saw his shoulders sticking out from the chair.
Yeah.
So, they destroy the entire Dressrosa army in... themselves.
Yeah.
Presumably. So, anyway, they meet up with Sanji and Kinemon.
Oh, I love the best joke of this, is the...
Yeah.
The dwarf giving Zoro directions by saying, it's the side you don't have swords on.
Yes.
And Zoro's saying, he knows, and Zoro's like, nah...
I'm pretty sure you were just trying to run down.
Yeah, and I also liked the joke of Zoro referring to the other two as Curly Brow Land and Top Knot Land.
Yes.
So, Zoro's explaining they're going to go find Nami, but okay. She wasn't answering her Dead End Mushi, and Violet explains, hey, Jorah has their ship.
Yeah, so she found them again.
Sanji's reaction to Violet just popping back up.
Yeah, just bending over backwards and freaking out. So they go back to the ship, and...
And Brook has changed sides.
Yep, he loves playing music, because life is art.
I love that first panel of, like, the music notes and the weird cartoon C that they're on now.
I can't wait to see this animated. Like, seriously, I will definitely make sure to check out these episodes in the anime, because this is going to be amazing.
And Jorah's loving this, because somebody's like... appreciating her art and complimenting it and playing music to it.
She's trapped Nami, Chopper, and Momonosuke in a big painting door thing.
Yeah. Well, Brook is singing along with her and everyone's lambasting Brook for changing sides.
But the music is art, and so they're both artists.
Yeah.
So he asks her to change his
weapon. And so what is it, like, within 10 minutes they will permanently become part of the art or something like that?
That what it is? That sounds like a One Piece thing. I didn't catch that.
So Brook needs his cane and his or his bow and his violin,
so he can actually do music.
Yeah. And so she goes ahead and changes it back because she wants the music.
And then Brook immediately attacks her and defeats her.
Well, he explains first that this cane also, like this bow is a cane, and we know his cane is also his sword.
Yeah. Slice.
Yes.
Yep. And he has already cut her, and then he shuts it, and then you can see that Brook has turned back to normal after that. So the assumption is everybody else has too.
Yeah, you can see Chopper changing back too.
Yeah, his horns are still messed up, but his face looks normal.
And Brook says he can't see the point of art because he can't see anything.
He doesn't have eyes. Yo-ho-ho, bone joke.
Meanwhile, Doflamingo is looking down on a beaten-down Law.
Yeah.
And just sort of ranting at him about how
Fujitora has a knife point on the ground.
Yeah. So I guess Fujitora didn't get to end up incapacitating Doflamingo at all.
Also, it seems like, Doflamingo's holding a heart, so I wonder whose heart he grabbed.
Oh, I'm sure that's getting Caesar's heart back.
Oh, okay, yeah. I was thinking maybe he took Fujitora's and, is controlling him now.
Well, he can't take anybody's. Law could.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I'm dumb.
Yeah, okay, I'm fairly certain that that's just he got Caesar Hart's, Caesar Crown's heart back.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what he wanted, so. Right, okay.
And you can kind of see behind them that, the whole forest has been pretty much cut up, so they probably had a pretty insane battle.
And then we finally get some glimpses into what happened near the Zero Century.
Yeah, basically One Piece mythos.
Yeah. 800 years ago, 19 of the 20 royal families got together. And
with the one good royal family that didn't become one of the celestial dragons being the one that we happen to like.
Alabasta.
Those non-dicks from Alabasta. And, after these old kings just picked up and left, new kings came in. And so the original, kings of Dressrosa were the Don Quixote family. Dun, dun, dun.
So we do get official confirmation that he is one of the Celestial Dragons.
Yeah, and those are descendants of, apparently, the original kings.
So the Celestial Dragons are not the Tenryobito.
No, that's what Tenryobito means.
Okay. That makes sense.
So, for whatever reason, Doflamingo decided he doesn't want to be wearing one of those spacesuit helmets, but he is one of those guys.
I can't see why he wouldn't want to wear it, but also his feather coat is pretty awesome, so.
Yes. Maybe it was just one of the
other. It protects him.
So, there's almost justification for what he did, because he was taking back his own land.
But they abandoned it, so.
God, I just noticed there's, four more meteors in the background of their fight. That's great.
Well, yeah, that'll be some filler fodder right there, is to actually show this fight.
So, twist ending. Don Quixote is what we thought he was.
He's, he wasn't an usurper, basically.
Yeah.
He kind of had rightful claim to the country.
I think that after
800 years, when you willingly left in the first place, and you're still kind of in control of it because you're part of the world government, I think you kind of...
But he wasn't just a pirate that was going around looking for a country to take over.
Yeah, but come on, that's 500 or 600 generations later? Wait, not that many. A lot of generations.
He went to his ancestral land. Granted, he's still a villain, and you're still going to, knock him
out. Luffy is still going to punch him.
Knock him out with a dawn?
Yes. But it's not entirely. It's not like he just, took over a random country.
I'm glad to get One Piece mythos again.
Yeah.
It's been a while since we got any.
I always like it when they build the world.
Not quite like that. Giving us information on the Zero Century yet, but...
Also, it would give Robin something to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, who needs archaeologists in a pirate crew, right?
Maybe they'll find a soundstone or whatever it's called.
A poneglyph.
Yeah, poneglyph.
So, thoughts on what's going to happen?
I bet it goes back to the fight, and it's kind of boring.
Yep.
I think that we might have one more chapter before it goes back to the fight.
Hopefully.
I don't think it's going to be dealing with Law. I think it's going to be... I don't know. It might be the Sunny finally arriving at Greenbit.
Yeah, because Don Quixote thinks Jorah's coming.
I'm going to be really happy if it cuts back to the fight and it's down to just Cavendish and Rebecca.
They showed the characters specifically.
Right. And
so they're going to... you know, go through the introductions.
And, yeah.
I'm just
it's
hoping.
Oda.
That one looks a lot like Eva. Ivankov. I don't know, the one with the big lips and the curly hair.
Oh.
I didn't actually bother looking at any of them because I didn't care, and I was sure that I was going to get more information soon enough.
I was thinking it looked like the Joker, but...
One of them's a Native American zombie, and one of them's based on Columbus, so that should be fun.
One of them's based on Great Abdullah, I think? Suleiman?
Wasn't that the last fight? Anyway.
He was in this one, I think. I'm relatively sure.
Well, anyway, I'm sure we'll see them in great detail one of these weeks.
Regardless, but, I still thought that this was overall a really good chapter. I liked the whole Brooke handling things.
Yeah. Brooke, he got some stuff to do,
which is
good.
I am going to miss Cartoon Brooke.
Yeah.
He was so great looking.
Yes.
And now
Jorah's
gone.
Yeah.
Well, they can kill her and then give her devil fruit power to someone else, because it's amazing.
Don Quixote does seem like the kind of person that would have, like, the devil fruits of people he would,
Yeah, get his weapons back after
yeah.
he'd die.
Feed them to other people.
Yeah, a lot of stuff was really good this week. Like,
yep.
this.
For the most part, there wasn't a bad chapter. Naruto left me confused
yeah,
the first
I was just
time
like,
I read it.
What was... I think Oda's getting too... Or not Oda. Kishimoto's getting way too into, like, stirring speeches and not thinking about why people would be giving stirring speeches.
Yeah.
In the middle of a giant life-or-death battle.
Because this one, it's like, people, please, unite. Yeah, dude, that's great. Like, the flower's already open and Sasuke and Naruto are on this. We're good.
Did I tell you guys about that ninja story yet?
So I was at a river. God, he's telling the river story again.
I can't stop thinking about it. Someone stop me.
This is why we had to put him down the first time and put his brother in charge.
Ino, break the link, please.
I can't. I need to find out what ninjas do. There has to be a point to the story. Nobody would just tell a story with no point to it, right?
That would solve, like, the mind link story would have solved so many things in Naruto.
Here, just watch.
Yeah. This is what's happening. Also, how did Konoha get invaded when they had psychics?
Did they have psychics?
They could read people's minds, couldn't they?
Yeah, they have that entire psychic core where they put on the, like, Cerebro helmets and...
Yeah, and then map the world and... That's weird.
Find all the mutants.
I remember when I thought it was weird that Anko was watching a TV during the...
Yeah, like a video
cassette. Like,
they have cell phones.
Yeah, but back then, that was like the first, like, there's technology? Because it's just like, let's watch the video playback. It's like, wait, what? I thought this was a ninja village. Why do you guys have, like, VCRs?
And then
I don't
Anka
know, they seem like useful
again.
Tools. Do you think that ninja don't watch TV?
Yes. They read porn. That's all we ever see people doing. Jiraiya made it big.
Yep. When does Kakashi come back in that, I wonder?
Never.
He's just trapped in the other dimension.
Like, they're clearly not just going to leave him there forever.
Nah, they forgot about him. He's not going to come back.
They go into Hueco-Mundo to rescue Kakashi.
This isn't Bleach. Well, I was going to say that before you said Hueco-Mundo.
Sakura and Sai go in there to rescue him, and then it's never addressed again.
they really are the Chad Marine, aren't they? Oh, I don't know who I feel worse for there.
Or Hime will stand next to them. I'm going to be over here, guys. Later.
that would be a good crossover or Naruto Bleach chapter. Or Hime, Chaz, Sakura, and Sai.
Like, there's this awesome fight going on way over there, but it just focuses on them talking.
Yeah, like, they're just sitting around a table, you know, drinking some beer or something
like
that.
They're rescuing a cat or something, or whatever they do in those spinoffs.
Sai's like, man, I got knocked out like 4 times when I was about to do something really cool, and then Chad just like nods and goes, 5, brother.
Every line of size is just like, I'm also with Team 7.
They do, like, a solidarity thing.
Yeah, Jump should totally do that, like, B-Team crossover manga.
Yamcha throws a party.
Even Krillin's too good to go.
Yeah, no, Krillin's at Naruto's party. You know, for the sidekicks.
He married up, what can you say? Oh, that reminds me. So apparently Jocko's, like, a Dragon Ball prequel?
Yeah, it turns out Should we spoil this? It's kind of dumb.
Why not?
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
The alien
I
he was pissed off
yet,
is basically Goku. Like, that was the whole thing.
That's not necessary. I don't... He didn't need to do that.
Yeah, yeah. Also, the girl
he
in there...
He needed some money.
Also, the girl in it is named Tights and is Bulma's older sister. You know,
who is never
Bulma's
mentioned.
Sister. Yeah, we've seen her house and all her family, and, like, a sister was never mentioned.
Maybe she dies.
Probably. I don't know. Who cares? It was kind of...
Maybe that's a Bulma needed the Dragon Balls for in the first place, but she was too shy to mention it.
So, Jocko gave me initial hope and then turned out to be bad, just like Sandland. So...
I'm telling you guys, Toriyama, just after Dragon Ball, he probably still has it, he's just not willing to go that far again.
No reason to try.
It's like why every... All the character designs he's done since Dragon Ball have all been Dragon Ball.
Yeah. That's what people want.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So... I'm sure when he went
so
to Shonen Jump, it's
the
like,
money.
I want to make a thing about an alien. They were immediately like, Goku? No?
But yeah, there's still like the one bonus chapter, I think. Because it was 10 plus 1, and we've only gotten 10 so far.
So I'm going to predict he does not stop Goku.
Yeah, I don't think they really get into that specifically. I've just kind of glanced over it, but I mean, that's the implication.
Yeah.
I mean,
unnecessary.
It's probably going to damage his pod so that he crashes and hits his head. And thus Dragon Ball happened. Thanks, Jocko.
There you go. Jocko is the true hero of Dragon Ball.
He's probably dead now.
And next, stay tuned for Toriyama Sensei's next manga, The Origin of Vegeta's Pink Shirt.
No, it'll be about
with
Grandpa
its, with its magic changing text.
Yep.
It'll be the origin
so you
story.
Caught up then?
The origin story for Yamcha, where he travels the world winning fights until he meets Goku. Like, Yamcha, I can't believe you're 1,000-0. Yeah.
That's the other thing we talked about, though, like, the world in Jocko is weirdly technologically advanced compared to Dragon Ball.
Yeah, like, they're sending people to space, and meanwhile in Dragon Ball, they have, like, feudal lords lording
over
the
theory planet. Is the dog president just ruined everything. Like, just within a few years, he just crashed the entire economy.
He's like... I want some giblets.
Dude, my campaign slogan was, who's a good boy? You guys should have seen this coming.
You guys elected a dog. There were actual people walking around.
This guy had a master's in law, and you elected a dog.
You can't have a master's in law. You go to law school and you get, like, a law degree.
Hey, they have a dog president. They can have a master's in law.
Okay. All right, then.
Okay.
We're done.
Yes.
This has been your Thursday, September 26th Jumpcast. Guys, thank you for coming.
Yep.
Thank you.
We'll see you all next week.
Go to that anime thing in Atlanta.
Yeah.
I feel like someone just took a picture of Obito, like, on the toilet.